This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt the Hitman Mizler over in the Taj Mahal on the other side of town. And you know, if you hear somebody talking smack, that would be Matty Boom Boom Leach. He's out there doing his thing. All I know is you got a jealous dog in the house.
Yeah, they're going crazy over here. But at least we've been able to keep her under control while we've been on the air. But yeah, she's been getting a little jealous here when the girlfriend comes around. She's getting a little protective of her boy Uncle Matty over here. But
what the heck is that?
It's nothing but love. But if anyone's getting, you know, talking smack or bringing that attitude, it's that old curmudgeon in the screen next to me. Yeah, that's
good. I don't know why. Hey, you can throw the heat my way. I can take it. But I'll just say this. Miz already embarrassed me to everybody. Now my girl's down there talking about how many girls you winked at and you told that you winked at. I'm like, that's for my mom. I said, hi, mom.
He said, hi, mom, not hi, baby. Anything exactly. Like that.
That's all I'm saying. 734-988-1050. You know what? We played the Jim Harbaugh Big Ten media, him talking to the media, introducing himself, introducing his the three fine gentlemen that he had with him. He talked about his team. He seems to be ready to go. He sounds like he's already in midseason form. He's going to put the guys in the yellow submarine and take them below, and we're going to see what you can do when they get down there. But I hope, you know, look, I'm excited. What he said about his coaching staff, he's excited about the defensive staff. Everybody's got a word, got to say. The reason why, I don't know if you guys caught a chance to get to see him when they had him alone. He was on TV at the Big Ten Network, and he did say how impressed he was of the young coaching staff that he had on hand. He did name them all. I mean, why wouldn't he be? I mean, look. It seems like he's got a new lease on life to me. He's got a new contract. Does he have to deliver? Sure, he has to deliver. He doesn't have to win every game, but he's got to win some games and some crucial games too. Games that he's never won before. And or teams that when he's not favored to win. That's what I'm looking for.
Some big ones. And like you said, you know, when he was talking about Coach Mike McDonald and the schemes that he was bringing and kind of the misdirection of using those very talented players that we have. But, hey, guess what? Those games that he needs to win, Wisconsin maybe being one of them, certainly those rivalry games that we have here throughout the season and that big one at the end, the way that we're going to beat them, they have – certainly as much, if not way more talent on the other side of the ball. It's going to take some misdirection. It is going to take getting those guys playing off kilter because, yeah, maybe Aiden Hutchinson can match up with them, but they certainly have enough offensive linemen to wear him down throughout a game. You're going to have to be creative. If we're going to win those games, like you said, that we're not supposed to win, it's going to have to be from the coaching staff. And, yes, great individual performances by either the guy that he named as the number one quarterback today, Cade McNamara, Hassan Haskins, the running back that was down here with him at Big Ten Media Day, Ross Hutchinson, Daxton Hill. It's going to be big performances by them, no doubt, but it's going to be by incredible coaching performances. So, like you said, Jamie, I don't know. You know, we were talking with Nick Baumgartner yesterday, and we said, I don't know what coach can really say to really either change the narrative or, you know, really have things humming coming out of media day. But I think he handled things about as well as he could have here today. So
no, he did a good job.
See if other people agree here with us.
Let's go to the phone. 734-988-1050. Hey, JJ, what's going on? JJ from Lincoln Park.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Did you charge your phone? I want to make sure you charge your phone.
Why wouldn't I charge my phone? It's been on the cradle all day.
Okay, I just want to make sure because we dropped you for some reason, babe.
Yeah, we lost you.
I'm on a landline, so I have no explanation. It is a cordless phone, though. And anyway, it's one of those internet phones because I'm a Magic Jack dude. So maybe Magic Jack is jacking me.
Maybe you are getting Jack. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. Hey, Jamie, I'll put it this way. I learned more about a Michigan football team watching Michigan replay with Bo Schembechler and his 5 minutes of talking during the game and stuff like that than I learned in this modern day. Nobody wants to say anything. It's all, you know, this, what do you call, politically correct talk and bull, you know what. I just wish somebody would go out there one time and say what the real reality is. So a Bobby Bowden or a Glenn Isha, I'd settle for damn Wayne Woodrow Hayes right now, who didn't like the media.
No,
it just is what it is. And I'll say this right now. I read the predictions in the paper about who's the best and who's the worst and blah, blah, blah. And other than Ohio State, do you really know where teams are going to land?
Not really. No.
I understand. So every year, if they were so good, everybody would have predicted Indiana would have finished second and did what they did. Nobody had them doing that. Not even the Indiana paper. Nobody knows anything, J-Mo. Okay? You settle it on the field. I know this. Ohio State will be tough to beat. The only way you can beat Ohio State is you have a game breaker. Okay? And other than Daxton Hill, can you name a game breaker that we have?
Blake Corum. Cornelius Johnson. The young man from Hawaii, Roman Wilson. So, I mean, they got some game breakers. You got to get the ball to them in their hands.
You got to utilize those game breakers, because you can argue that we've had them here in the past, and then we see them, you know. Even I was watching some highlights of some Donovan Peoples-Jones touchdowns that he was catching with that high-powered offense down there in Cleveland. So, it's about making the most out of those game breakers. And then, yeah, they need to show up when the lights are brightest.
Boom, boom. The highest offensive draft pick that we've had for a skilled trade position since Lloyd Carr retired was the former tight end from Farmington Hills Harrison, who played wide receiver in the second round. We haven't had any quarterback, running back, wide receiver drafted as a game breaker in the first round since way back in the day when Lloyd Carr was the coach.
Agreed.
You are right.
Devin Funches is our most dynamic offensive player. That tells you where the program's gone. Two 1,000-yard rushers in the year since Mike Hart and Lloyd Carr left town. Jamie, if you ever would have believed Willie Heston, Jamie Morris, Tom Harmon, you would ever believe that we would go from 2008 to 2021 and only have two 1,000-yard rushers. And it wasn't like they ran for 1,700 yards. They barely scratched 1,000 yards with the extra games they played. I'm telling you, this is you want to look at what it is. We have no game breakers. Donovan Peoples-Jones rarely got separation from what I saw. But that doesn't mean I know anything. I'm just telling you what I saw.
Here's my thing, JJ. I know a lot of people want to point out the kids and everything. Donovan Peoples-Jones is creating separation with the Cleveland Browns. I'm just saying. For some reason, Donovan Peoples-Jones was creating separation. Okay, so that being said, I'm hoping that this new coaching staff can enhance these kids as opposed to holding them down. The same thing you're saying, pretty much.
Hey, Jamie, I think the smartest thing I ever heard in my life in football ever, back in 1981, Bobby Bowden said this: football's an easy game. It's all about getting your best in against their worst in and exploiting the matchup. And he broke it down. You attack their weak point on defense or offense or whatever, Jamie. And that was the smartest thing I ever heard any coach say. So, then again, what the hell do I know? I'm a swimmer. So, I'll let you talk to Philly E, whoever's next, unless you got one more question for me. Hey, Maddie, why don't you ask me a question?
Ask you a question?
Oh, dude, he knows everything. Wait a minute. He knows everything about your dad. Ask him a question about your dad.
Oh, man. Hit me on the spot with this
question about your dad. What was your dad's first game? It was
Wisconsin.
On the road. Wisconsin. Then what was his next two games?
Good job, Maddie. You already hit it.
Well, that one, see, the easy one is the first one, Wisconsin. And then
23-6 over Wisconsin.
The next
two games were those ties against Stanford and Baylor. And
I was going to say, A&M. I knew it was a Texas team.
Yeah, he came back and did a hell of a job. Your dad, you know what? Listen, I actually got to meet your dad one time, and I'm telling you, he was a big man on campus, and I had to be at a social gathering, and you know what? He wasn't a jerk or anything. He was like a regular guy and a great human being. He was a pleasure to be around.
Well, I appreciate that. Certainly, I appreciate the kind words.
Listen to me. If I could have, if he was a jack wagon like one or two other players, I would have said it. But your dad was a great human being. Seriously, he was a heck of a guy.
JJ doesn't hold back.
Put it this way. I don't know if he was as great as James Walter Morse because your dad could not go in to a McDonald's on Grand River in Lansing, Michigan and have the whole restaurant say Jamie Morse for Heisman, and that's when Lorenzo White was running for Michigan State. Isn't that a true story, Jamie?
That is a true statement, JJ. I appreciate that. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Appreciate the phone call.
Go
I got a lot of people behind. Go Blue. 734-988-1050. Mike in Ohio. You better not be an Ohio State fan today, Mike. What do you want?
I am not an Ohio State fan. I am
okay.
Actually, when I was a kid, I was 8 years old, and I sat in the living room, and there's a Michigan game on, and I started cheering for him. And my dad said, no, don't do that. You don't root for that team. I said, I like their helmets. And that's what
that
I
started. Boy.
And I that
a boy,
then.
Mike. I love you for that, man.
I've been a Michigan fan ever since then. But I'll tell you this. What I liked most today about what Harbaugh said, everything in the past since he's been here doesn't release a depth chart, doesn't say, this is my guy. This is who I'm going to. This is what we're going to do. And today he said, Cade McNamara's quarterback one. He's had a good spring. He goes out and says, Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum, they're 1-1. He's putting it on people now. He's saying, hey, here, you're my leader. And I don't think anybody that's a true Michigan fan is per se happy of how things have went since he's been there. Why? Because we haven't won the game at the end of the year.
Exactly.
But when you're asked about that game, what are you supposed to say? Heck yeah, we're going to beat them. You're not going to say we're going to lose to them.
I like
this
response.
We're going to die trying.
I like this response today.
We're going to die trying, and let's die
exactly.
trying. And I'll say this. I take a lot of flack being because I'm from East Ohio. I'm not from the border. I'm from East Ohio. Everybody's Ohio State fans in this town that I live in. But I'll tell you this. In my opinion, if you think that there's another man out there that wants to win more for Michigan than Jim Harbaugh, I think you're crazy. Has he done great? No. But if you think there's another man out there that wants to win for Michigan more than Jim Harbaugh, you're crazy. He made the changes that he had to make. Our defense was giving us problems when Don Brown was running the show, and we did good in every game of the year, for the most part, except for the last game. He made the changes that he had to make. You know, you bring Mike Hart in, who's I just heard the caller before talking about 1,000-yard rushers, and I get tired of logging on Twitter and everybody saying 3-star this, 3-star that. Well, I'm sure you guys enjoyed watching 3-star Mike Hart run up and down the field at the Big House. So I believe in Jim Harbaugh. I believe in this team. I believe in Cade McNamara. And from an unbiased standpoint, if we're going to do it, we got to do it now. We're returning all the return most of our defense, and they weren't great last year, but we're returning experienced players. He's told Cade, you're in charge. And if we're going to do it, we're going to do it now. And I got faith in Cade McNamara. I got faith in Hassan Haskins. I got faith in these guys that have put their time in. I got faith in Jim Harbaugh.
Nice. Thanks for the phone call, Mike. Appreciate that.
Hey, Mike's fighting that good fight, like he said over there in East Ohio. And again, I agree with a lot of what he had to say. And again, I'm looking forward to, like he said, coach putting the account. I said I liked that he mentioned accountability a lot. He's putting the accountability on those players. He's showing the confidence in those players by naming them here early. And hopefully we need some things to change. And that's certainly one of the glaring things that changed today. So hopefully we've been waiting for that homegrown, that everyone cares, you know, seems to care that it not be a transfer, but we've been waiting for that homegrown guy that we recruited that came here to take the reins and be that guy that Michigan can count on. And so he put his faith and he said, Kate is the guy here today. So we'll see if that holds up and goes all the way through fall practice. Cause Jamie knows there's been a lot of guys that here on July 22nd, you think are going to be the starter, but then all of a sudden, and you know, JJ mentioned those last Lloyd Carr teams or talked a little bit about them. I think about Chad Henne. There was is it going to be Gutierrez? Is it going to be why am I blanking on his name? Clayton Richards.
Clayton Richards Gutierrez. And
yep.
And it worked out to be Chad Henne.
The freshman came in and took the job. And so, you know, I do like that he did that, but I'm also just as I am curious if that will end up holding out all the way here through fall camp. So especially with Bowman now coming in, getting a little bit more reps, more real practice, not just that summer cycle, it's going to be interesting. But yeah, that's certainly that. And as he mentioned, the beat the rivals or die trying, I think those are going to be the two things that most people talk about coming out of this press conference.
I'm just I'm going to hold back. I'm going to go right to Philly E. Let's go to Philly E. Hey, Philly, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, boys? I kind of missed the end of the interview because I had to walk the dog. She was scratching the crap out of me to take her out. But I did hear a piece of – did they say that Blake Corum and Hassan are like one and one pretty much?
Yeah.
Is that
– Yeah,
is that
one A and one, essentially like 1A, 1B.
1A, 1B.
Good. So,
here's the problem with that. Is that they're not the same type of backs. So
well,
1A,
I think that's
1B.
A good thing.
I mean, he's just – look, I get it, and I love Blake Corum, and I love Hassan Haskins. When it's a tough yard to get, I'm going to suggest you use Hassan Haskins. If it's a swing pass, a sweep, a counter tray, you should use Blake Corum. I mean, they're two different backs. You can say, oh, 1A, 1B, all you want. But if it's a tough yard to get, you know who's going to be in the game. If he's not,
I think it's a good thing, Jamie, because like you basically just said it. I think they both bring two different things to the table. One's the slasher, obviously that's Hassan, and Blake. I mean, he's got out the door speed, does he not? I know he's bulked
he
up,
does.
But I mean, yeah. So I mean, they bring you know. I'm not going to say Leroy Horde and Tony Bowles, but I'm just saying they brought two completely different things to the table. So that's what I'm kind of comparing it to. You know what I mean? Of course, number 23 didn't have a compliment, really. Number 23 was the man all by himself. That's why you were the, you know, historically.
Dude, we had a great backfield when I played. We had Bob.
I know, but you were pretty much. The guy,
it was hard work.
Except for when you fumbled in that Ohio State game and they kept giving the ball to Gerald after that.
It's okay. I wasn't in the game. It's okay. Bo lived up to be the man he was. If you put the ball on the ground, you'd be beside me.
I give you a hard time because I say if I don't, nobody will. You know I'm just messing with you, J-Mo.
Oh, no. I can't. I agree.
I would have had some questions, though. The questions I would have is, okay, so we know McNamara's our guy, right? Now, I think in the type of offense we need to run, if it's speed and space, and you heard me complain about this before, man, we need a quarterback run game. I just don't know how much is McNamara going to bring? And did we work on speed and agility because maybe they're planning for him to – you know, to be a bigger part of the quarterback run game. I mean, I haven't seen enough of him to know what he really brings to the table in terms of the quarterback run game. Is he at least comparable to what Shea Patterson brought? I don't know. Maybe you guys would know better than me. And the other thing is, if that's the case, does McCarthy get some snaps? Because I know he is athletic, and he does. He probably would bring something to the quarterback run game. That would be some questions I would have for Jim Harbaugh. And of course, the last thing was, how well is McNamara in reading those linebackers, you know, because it's such a big deal in the RPO. And I really, again, that's something else. In addition to the quarterback run game, RPO to me is such a big deal when you're running this type of offense. And I want to know how well, you know, how well does McNamara make that read? What do you guys think about that?
I agree with you, but McNamara's got to be, he's not the most, let's just say he's not the most athletic quarterback there is. He's a guy that he's got to make his throws, and he's got to be able to get down when he sees the hitter coming. I'm not going to call it soft football, but he's got to know when to take a slide instead of trying to take a hit to show toughness. I've seen him play a small amount of time, and from what I've seen is he wants to take that tough man route, and that's not his game. You can't take – he cannot – he's got to play smart football. And playing smart football is getting out of bounds, sliding, and hey, live for another play. Live for the next down. Because if he gets hurt, that hurts the team. Because that means you got to change quarterbacks all over again, and the offense has got to get used to another quarterback. So that being said, he's got to play smart football. Take it when it's there, but get down when you know you need to get down.
Yeah, I think both you hit it on the head. Those are both going to be big parts if Michigan's offense is going to be successful. The quarterback has to be at least a threat to run the ball when the opportunity is there and pick up. So from what I've seen, it looks like he might not be a game breaker. Maybe Shea would be comparable because, again, Shea made some good plays with his feet, but it was really, I think he had that one, I think it was against Wisconsin, where he had the 80-yard run that he ended up having down the sideline. But other than that,
yeah, getting the 80-yard run from
McNamara. Again, that was one time he did it. So, hey, John Navarre had like a 45, 50-yard run against Iowa
that
nobody expected him to see. But he still got it. So, again, I don't think, you know, I think he can be a serviceable runner, maybe not necessarily a game breaker, but I agree with you. I think what might be even more important is just how he does read those linebackers, because Michigan getting the ball to that speed and space, or hopefully some of these guys that we're hoping can be game breakers, is going to be arguably the more important part of it. Getting the ball in Cornelius Johnson's hands, in Roman Wilson's hands, in all of the different wide receivers, these running backs, whether it is Haskins or Corum, and all the different things that they do. So I agree. I think those two things, if Michigan's offense is going to be successful, whether it's JJ, whether it's Bowman, whether it's Cade, whoever's in there, but Cade being the guy number one, if he can do those things, this Michigan offense will hopefully have a chance to here to be successful.
Yeah. And you know, the strangest thing is, When was the last time where the defense was the bigger question mark? I mean, as much as we question offense the past few years, you got to say that the defense is a bigger question mark going into this year. And that
honestly, Philly, don't worry about the defense. Defense will get their job done. There are two guys on that defensive line. Well, three guys, really, four guys that have got to step up. And if they step up like they should, because of them being upperclassmen, then we'll be fine on the defense. If they don't step up, then we're in trouble. Hit the panic button. But if they do what they're supposed to do and be senior leaders, and maybe we need to call them out, and maybe I will someday, but right now, if these guys step up like they should, this Michigan defense should be okay.
Fact, Philly, make sure you keep it locked here in about 10 minutes. I'm going to tell you what one Mr. Why am I blinking here? Ayn Hutchinson said to the media about Ohio State and the team culture compared to the past defensive set to the current one, coming up in about 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. All right, boys. Oh, real quick, JJ brought up one thing yesterday. He brought up the Clemson-Georgia game from 1981. I'll tell you what, man, he blew off Michigan-Notre Dame for that. You know, that game ended up being a freaking jewel because Clemson was ended up winning a whole national championship.
That's a rivalry now. You know that, right? That's a big rivalry.
Yeah, of course I do.
Clemson-Georgia is a huge rivalry. I was told
Clemson
that.
Came out of nowhere to be the team that beat Georgia. That's how they were advertising them in the promos that year. And of course, they parlayed that all the way to the national championship with Homer Jordan and Perry Tuttle, who was a bust in the draft, by the way. And, of course, Bridge as well. Anyway, boys, and by the way, I don't know if you guys remember, but I forgot to bring up yesterday the biggest, ballsiest play Bobby Bowden never pulled was Leroy Butler running out of punt formation, speaking of Clemson. And a lot of people missed that because that game ran into the Michigan loss to Miami, that 31-30 just tragedy at the end. But that was the coolest play, with Leroy Butler running he was basically with the end zone, was his shadow was in the end zone, and he took it all the way down there, and they ended up beating Clemson anyway. Anyway, boys, that's all I got. I will talk to you all tomorrow and go blue.
All right. 734-998-1050. Let's go to Keith in Ypsilanti. What up, Keith?
Hey, Jamie. Thanks, guys. Matt, long time. I haven't called, and glad to be back talking some football. Running back. It's a question for you, Jamie, and anybody else. What impact do you think Donovan Edwards will be able to make this year as a freshman? I know it's just a freshman, but we saw what Zach Charbonnet did, 2 years ago. And you know, obviously, providing he stays healthy, how good do you think he can be behind Haskins and Corum and everybody else? And how do you think we're going to stack up against Wisconsin when we go there? You know, glad that we're, 43 days? So, yeah, what do you think of Donovan Edwards and Ron Bellamy coming aboard? And I think it's great. What do you think he can do maybe as a freshman? Thanks.
Actually, I think Jim Harbaugh did Donovan Edwards a favor. I mean, he wanted to let everyone know our first and second options in the backfield are Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum. He was really saving up. He didn't want to say or give anybody the illusion that what Donovan Edwards can do, because I mean, you don't want to put him on the radar. He's already on the radar. Look, when he gets on the field, it's going to be hell to get him off the field, because he's a player who can do it all. He's a freshman. You don't want to rush him. Let him get his bearings. Let him get his feet set. I think Jim did a great job. I think he wanted to point the arrow to someone else. He didn't want to bring out Donovan Edwards. So I appreciate you bringing him out, Keith. But, yeah, I think Donovan Edwards is a heck of a back. And when he gets his opportunities, he will take full advantage of his opportunities. And I expect to see him more and more as the season progresses along.
He's going to play. Those other guys might be one and two, but I would imagine that you will see him. He will get some touches. I agree with Jamie that I think he does have tremendous potential. And, yeah, certainly love him and Ron Bellamy coming over from West Bloomfield, them being my old rival high school. I hate that they were doing it there. But, yeah, they had certainly done it here. One of the best programs in the state at the high school level, and we are certainly expecting to see. But, yeah, it feels good, Jamie. You know, I was going to ask you, and I guess maybe we can get to it after the break and I hear maybe with some other callers, but you know, we felt like we've had that stable of backs, or maybe even last year with Zach Charbonnet here before his departure and Haskins and Corum and all these guys, and we weren't able to really get that production. So do you think, you know, those two being one and two, and then maybe Donovan Edwards in that mix, are we getting back to that stable like we used to have? Like you said, with you and Gerald White and some of those guys.
I think we are. I think everybody will, with Mike Hart there, someone who's familiar with the running back position, someone who understands how to keep everybody at the table getting a bite. I know everybody's not eating, not a full meal, but everybody's getting an opportunity do get a chance. So Mike Hart will put things in perspective. The kids respect him if you listen to what they say. So, yeah. And as far as Wisconsin, we need a – that's the games I'm talking about. Yep. No one's picking us to win Wisconsin. You got to go to Wisconsin in Madison, and you got to beat them. You got to surprise the hell out of them. Because, hey, they look at it, here comes another win. Look, we got to go up there, and we got to shock the world. You got to act like you've been there before. You got to make sure. Take the fans out of it and go get them. We got to talk on the other side. Poppy, hold on or keep driving, Poppy. I know you're driving somewhere. All of that on the other side. You're listening to the M Zone.